Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I took a little poll today, it's still going on Facebook, about, well, Obamacare Lite, Obamacare 2.0, Trump Care, Turd Care, whatever you want to call it. There's not a lot of support out there for this. Oh, by the way, it's not one bill that we're going to do. It's phase one, phase two, phase three, and we'll get to the really smart stuff in phase three. So anyway, this whole thing is a bit of a mess. I mean, if you remember, if you go back to 2015, they actually passed a repeal bill formally. Remember that? Remember all that stuff? They weren't going to get it through the Senate, obviously. But in the House, they actually passed a repeal bill. You know, when you repeal something, you unplug it. You get rid of it. You cross it off. And of course, this is not a repeal and replace. I think the best word to describe what is happening in our nation's capital with respect to Obamacare, it would be the word tinker. I think they're tinkering with it. I think it's one thing to campaign. It's quite another to govern. And so now that they're governing, I think they're afraid. They're scared to death of it. So the poll I took earlier on Facebook, which is still running, was about, how do you feel about it? Are you upset? Are you mildly upset? Somewhat upset? Are you cautiously optimistic? Are you two thumbs up? And I have yet to find anybody that's, I think this is awesome. I'm all for it. This is a great thing. This is exactly what I was hoping and praying for. No, the vast majority of people are not happy at all. And so over 70% of the people on the poll that I'm taking on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, are like, no, I'm at least very upset to super upset and mad about it, radically disappointed. So my question for you today is, how do you feel about this Trump Care, Obamacare 2.0, Obamacare Lite, whatever you want to call it? I've got a bunch of stories on that today. A couple other things I want to throw at you. And by the way, just in case you thought you knew the Bible, apparently you don't, because a Texas pastor opposing a controversial transgender bathroom bill that would require individuals to use public restrooms based on that old-fashioned notion of biological sex protested the bill with hundreds of LGBTQ et al. Advocates on Tuesday, declaring that God is, wait for it, transgender. Yes, the God of the Bible, in case you didn't figure this out already, because you're obviously a hater, is transgendered. So I'll spend a little time on that. Now, of course, here's an interesting lesson in popular media. A bunch of the conservative outlets that are running that story are calling the Texas pastor himself a transgendered person. Reverend S. David Wynn, senior pastor from Agape Metropolitan Community Church in Fort Worth, Texas. So there's these casual mentions of the quote-unquote transgender pastor. And I spent at least 25, 30 minutes online today looking for confirmation of that. There's nothing on his bio. There's nothing on the church page. I couldn't find a single article or resource that said the pastor, quote-unquote himself, if you will, is transgendered. So listen, just because the title of the article or the point of the article is something that you agree with doesn't mean that the entire article or every charge contained therein is accurate. So we're all just kind of eating this stuff all the time. Assume everything we're reading is accurate, and it just isn't. And so in the land and world and times of fake news, even the stuff that comes off your favorite websites, we all have to be very cautious about these things because there's so much competition in the media world. I describe it as a big vortex. It's like a big tornado. And so things get thrown in there and it's just spinning all over the place and everybody's fighting for attention. Therefore, they're fighting for dollars and advertising dollars, whether it's online or on the radio, wherever it happens to be, cable television. So you have to, the more salacious it's called now, clickbait. Clickbait. So we bait you. We bait the hook with a salacious kind of headline, an extreme headline. You won't believe what so-and-so celebrity did the other day. Or you won't believe what opinion they have. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be ridiculous. And then you click on it and it's, you know, whatever, no big deal. But that's clickbait. So all that stuff's going on all the time. So we'll talk about that down in Texas. We'll talk about some border crossing numbers are way down. to the tune of about 40%. Is that a Trump effect? We'll look at that. And then we'll consider what's going on with the Trump Care, Obamacare 2.0, Obamacare Lite, whatever you want to call it. So my question for you today, 866-348-7884, is what's your reaction? I think a lot of us voted in the last couple of elections based on repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. How do you feel about the GOP plan that's been released this week that Trump's all about it, right? Hey, this is great. This is wonderful. He thinks Representative Rand Paul is going to come around and everybody's going to come around. Well, this ain't Trump Tower, so things don't go the way that Donald Trump always wants them to go. But what do you think? Do you feel somewhat cheated? Do you feel once again that the GOP is really just largely made up of a bunch of progressives that happen to lean to the right side of the aisle instead of the left? What do you think about that? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. How are you reacting to this quote-unquote repeal and replace bill out of the GOP's in Congress? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, let's dive over here because I want to get through these stories first and then get to your calls. Okay, let's go back. So Texas, the state of my birth, don't hold that against them, is doing basically the same thing that we did here in North Carolina, where I live, called HB2, which is, you know, radical old-fashioned Salem witch trial kind of legislation, saying that you have to use the bathroom of your actual birth gender, which, isn't it funny how we even have to use that phrase anymore? Your birth, you can't just say, what sex are you? Or what gender are you? Now it's, what gender do you identify as? Or what is your birth gender? Or what does your birth certificate say? But Texas is basically going down the same road that North Carolina has gone down. And so there's all kinds of eruptions down there against this bill. And so this Texas pastor I mentioned earlier, talking about Senate Bill 6, a senior pastor from Agape Metropolitan Community Church in Fort Worth, Texas, lashed out at the bill in solidarity with hundreds of LGBTQ advocates protesting the bill outside the state capitol in Austin. Here's what he said. In the beginning, God created humankind in God's image. So God is transgender, Wynn told the crowd, which roared in approval. That's scary. We're all created in the image of what is holy and divine and sacred, in which we should all be treated that way. We're going to stop using God as an excuse to hate people, Wynn said in the bill's to the religious supporters. He then paraphrased author Anne Lamott, if God hates all the same people you do, then you've created God in your image. God is transgender. Well, I'm going to do a little theological research on that and pray about it, and I'll get back to you after the break. What do you think about this new bill, the new healthcare bill? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you here on kind of a free-for-all Friday. I've got several different stories to get to, but would love to hear from you. 866-348-7884 is the phone number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. What do you think about the healthcare rollout by the Republicans this week in Congress? Obamacare 2.0, Obamacare Lite, Trump Care, whatever you want to call it. What's your initial reaction? Are you disappointed? Are you upset? Are you optimistically hopeful? You think it's just realism? Hey, you know, you're not going to get rid of it. It's an entitlement program. We don't get rid of any entitlement program in this country because politicians, especially those in Congress and in the House, remember, they're perpetually running for office. They all have to start their campaigns again about a year from now, because they're only in for 2 years, and they have to go through an election process again. So they're always running for the next session. In the Senate, you get a little bit more of a buffer every 6 years, but they cost so much money, those guys are always running. And so once they campaign in one way, they govern in another. It's very duplicitous. It's spineless, really, most of the time. But not so much interested in their opinion as I am in yours. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, even if you're excited about it, you think it's awesome, you're all about it because you support Trump unequivocally, whenever you call in here, it's not the Hannity program. I'm not a typical talk radio guy. I have no interest in bashing people that take the time to call in. I have no interest in trying to prove that I can destroy you in a debate. Listen, 20-30% of Christian radio listeners are unchurched, so my witness to them is more important than my ability to beat you up in a debate or in an argument. And we're too easy to peg. We've had that moniker on us for years now, that we're just harsh, mean, rude, judgmental people that just kind of point our fingers and wag our fingers at everybody. And part of that's true. Part of that we deserve. Part of that we don't. It's just the natural reaction to the light of the gospel is hatred and pushback. Jesus told us we would have trouble. And sure enough, we do. But let's not make it any worse than it already is by being jerks. So never be afraid to call in here, even if you disagree with me or want to put up a different point. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, your reaction to the brand new health care bill brought out by the Republican Party. Okay, I wanted to go back to this story about the southern border. Okay, so I've got a statement, official statement here from the Department of Homeland Security, but let me start with the lead-in from an article. The number of undocumented immigrants caught along the southwest United States border fell significantly last month, which the Trump administration said Wednesday was a sign that its hard line on illegal immigration might already be discouraging border crossers. Roughly 840 people a day were caught or stopped from entering the United States from Mexico in February, according to Customs and Border Protection, a drop of about 36% from the previous February. Just as significant, the number was down about 39% from January, a reversal of a year-long trend of apprehensions increasing in February as the temperature begins to rise and more people try to cross the border. So there's that lead-in, but here's the official line from the Department of Homeland Security. I'm skipping down a couple of paragraphs. This is from John Kelly, who's now the head of the Homeland Security. The drop in apprehension shows a marked change in trends. Since the administration's implementation of executive orders to enforce immigration laws, apprehensions and inadmissible activity is trending towards the lowest monthly total in the last 5 years. This change in the trend line is especially significant because CBP historically sees a 10 to 20% increase in apprehensions of illegal immigrants from January to February. Instead, this year, we saw a drop from 31,578 to 18,762 persons, a 40% decline. And I appreciated that they marked this other part, okay? The decrease is also encouraging news because it means far fewer people are putting themselves and their families at risk of exploitation, assault, and injury by human traffickers and the physical dangers of the treacherous journey north. Here's another interesting point. Additionally, we are seeing an increase in the fees charged by human smugglers along the U.S. southwest border. Since November 2016, coyotes have hiked their fees in some areas by roughly 130%, from $3,500 to $8,000 in certain mountainous regions. Changes in U.S. policy, including the detention of apprehended aliens, drives up the smuggling fees. So in the end, when we're sitting there going, hey, you know what? This whole increased border security, build a wall, that's terrible, that's hateful. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite, because you're decreasing the market for sex trafficking. You're decreasing the market for human trafficking and charging people to bring them across the border. And less people are risking themselves injury or their families and their kids injury by trying to sneak across the border, not to mention the benefits for the American populace as a whole. And if you start looking at the numbers of the violent criminals in this country, just in the last few years alone in Texas, perpetrated by illegal aliens, it is a huge, huge problem. And so taking care of our southern border is good for, guess what, pretty much everybody. So that was encouraging to see. I appreciated that. Let's get to your calls and some comments from Facebook Live on the GOP healthcare plan. What's your reaction to that? 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's jump over to Jeff, who's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Jeff, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Great, man. Thanks for calling. So what do you think about this thing?
Yeah, well, you tell me, because what is the biggest pushback here from conservatives? I noticed there's a lot of pushback on the conservative networks regarding this plan. So I haven't had a lot of chance to look at it or hear about it, but why do you think that is?
Well, it's some of the things that they are continuing to do, but they've kind of changed the wrapping paper on it. It's just like subsidies. So instead of doing subsidies that, we're gonna just call them, go onto the exchanges, and we're going to have all kinds of benefits and discounts for you. Now they just run it through a different type of language. So they're still subsidizing people, and that subsidy money, like if you drop your health care, Jeff, under this new plan, and 3 months later you go back in, the way that they penalize you for not having health care is they charge you a 30% fine, basically, on your new health care plan, and that money goes to that particular insurance agent, that insurance coverage. So they're still pumping all kinds of money. They want to do tax credits. So they want to put money into people's pockets, basically send you a check as a tax credit because you can't afford insurance on your own. So that's subsidies, and we're taking money from the government, which we don't have anyway, and giving that out to people. Again, kind of the thought here is, do you have a constitutional right to health care? And so this plan is kind of continuing to do that. One thing that a lot of people, myself included, wanted to see, this is just a regular free market plan. Well, you live here in North Carolina like I do, Jeff. Right now, we can only buy health insurance from North Carolina companies, right? That's the only place. Right. You can only buy it in your state. Like in Alaska, there's one provider, only one person, right. Only one group that you can buy it from. So you don't have any kind of competition there. And they're talking about that in phase two and phase three. So free market solutions like that don't even show up. So a lot of things they're doing, it's just kind of massaging Obamacare as it already is. So I assume you have car insurance, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you know about all the car insurance companies and you like Geico and all that kind of stuff. You go online, you put in what you're trying to do. You can do this with life insurance. You can do this with term life insurance. Mm-hmm. And they'll get you quotes from competitors all over the country. Like I can get my car insurance from somebody over in Texas if I want to. Well, right now you can't do that with healthcare. You only can buy from what's in your state. So everybody, the conservatives talked about, well, that's the one thing we need to have. As I need to be able to have competition across the country to buy my health care, they don't even do that. So in a lot of ways, it's just kind of massaging or tinkering with the existing health care plan as opposed to dumping it and putting something else new in place. And so that's what's going on. Jeff, thanks for calling and asking that. What do you think about it? What's your take? Do you feel betrayed if you're a conservative? Do you feel enlightened or encouraged if you're a Trump supporter? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. What do you think about the new Obamacare 2.0, Obamacare Lite, Trump Care, GOP Care, whatever you want to call it? But it's not going well this week for what I would call the establishment or moderate Republicans. It's getting hammered, and there's some pretty heavy hitters, especially in the Senate. But Senator Mike Lee and Senator Rand Paul are like, this is DOA. This is going nowhere in the Senate. And they can't afford to really lose any votes in the Senate. So you've got the Freedom Caucus. Mark Meadows, who's a North Carolinian where I live, one of those. And they're up in arms against it. They had their version of it that they came out with about a year ago. And plus, they in 2015. In the House, they voted for a full repeal. They actually have a bill that repealed it, that they voted on. It passed in the House. Of course, it was going nowhere in the Senate. It was DOA, but they have done that. So they've got a lot of upset people on the left is easy. Of course, they're going to be upset because it's Trump and it's the GOP. They have to oppose it regardless if there's anything good in it for Democrats. And it really is kind of Obamacare light in many ways. And now they're saying, well, this is just phase one. We got phase two and phase three. And in phase two and phase three, we'll do some more free market stuff. Like, you know, imagine being able to buy your health insurance from suppliers around the country, which is called competition. And the more suppliers there are, the more competition there is. And when you have more competition, well, that's why you can go to Walmart now or BJ's or wherever and buy a 50-inch flat screen LCD TV for $450. When we first built a house here in Raleigh back in, I don't know, 2000, and I wanted to get a 42-inch plasma screen TV, I think I paid $3,500 for it or something. The bigger ones were like 10 grand. But now you can buy one at Walgreens. It's crazy. But that's what competition does. But no, we don't have competition in the healthcare industry. The whole thing's such a big sham. Let me just explain this to you and some people that we've had on the show before, and hopefully we're going to be back on here in the near future. MediShare, have you heard of that? So MediShare is, I think there's over 200,000 families around the country. It's a Christian organization, not-for-profit, basically a ministry, and you agree to share each other's medical bills. So it's like a $400 share per month, and that money goes into the kitty. And then people that have actual big-time illnesses or injuries, cancer, things like that, then that money is all pooled and shared to pay for major medical expenses. And it's like a $5,000 deductible. And so you pay for your well care. I go in and you turn 50, you got to get a colonoscopy. It's about $1,000. You're going to pay for that. That's well care. If you go in for, you know, a runny nose or the flu. Well, that's not a big deal. That's not going to get covered. You're going to have to pay for that yourself. But when we got out of Blue Cross Blue Shield, which was going to be for us at the time for a family, was going up to about $1,400 or $1,500 a month. So I'm just trying to explain this whole free market thing. By the way, if you want to chime in on Obamacare 2.0 or whatever you want to call it, 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And I will get to some of our comments from our friends here on Facebook Live. You can watch the show live every day. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. And so we're looking at that going, okay, it's $1,500 a month. That's $18,000 a year. Plus we had a $5,000 or $7,000 deductible. Okay. So we were going to be out $18,000 no matter what. Then we looked at our thing like MediShare. We always spend $400 a month for our share. I think that's what it is. Maybe $425. So $5,000 a year going out the door. So now I've got about a $13,000 cushion, right? And so that's a cash flow question. I've got $13,000 extra dollars that I'm not giving to Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's going to more than cover our well care. And if we start to deal with some problems, if it's serious enough, broken bones, major illness, okay, that's going to get shared anyway. So we're way ahead on a cash flow perspective. But look, this, you explain this to me. I've had two bouts of skin cancer on my right temple in the last 2 years. The one 2 years ago was really bad. If I've ever met you in person and you look strangely at my right temple above my right eye, I know what you're looking at because I have a pretty serious scar there. And when I had that done 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now. So when I go in, I give them my MediShare card and they're like, well, what is your insurance card? And I go, well, this isn't really insurance. And it's actually a great opportunity to share your faith with somebody because they're like, well, how does this work? Well, other Christians, you know, the Bible tells us to carry one another's burdens. And so this is how we do it. And they're, you know, it's intriguing in the healthcare industry. And I say, so I'm going to basically pay you cash today. So I need to get a price for this Mohs procedure you're going to do on me today as you cut into my head. So they're like, they're looking at the chart and here, check this out. So when I got the first one, which I had three incisions, which is pretty serious for Mohs, three incisions, which was, you know, it was a bummer. But anyway, I paid them $1,900 to do that. The bill that they were going to send to Blue Cross Blue Shield was like $8,000. And I guess all the regulations, all the red tape, all the people involved in the process, like $1,900 I paid cash versus like $8,000 or something. It's about that high that was going to be billed to, in this case, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Then the other one I did, thank you, Lord, was much smaller just this past December. And that was like $950. That's what it cost me. But the billing to Blue Cross, the insurance company, would have been like $4,500 because they're looking there on the chart. I'm like, well, what's the bill if it goes to the insurance company? Oh, that's like, let's see, $4,500. And what am I paying you? $940 or whatever it was. I'm like, what's the deal with that? That's crazy, the difference there. And they're like, yeah, it's just the industry. So you've got this massive problem out there in the healthcare industry. And one thing that we should do is that we should be able to buy health insurance from suppliers all over the country. You need to level that playing field and introduce competition and the free, that's the free market, which some people on the left would say, you know, that's of the devil. No, it isn't. That's why you pay so little for so many things that you buy, because there's a free market. There's competition. But when it comes to this stuff, there isn't. So anyway, what do you think? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. I realize a lot of people, especially in this part of the country, are watching ACC basketball. So maybe that's why you're so quiet today. I thought for sure people are chiming in on Facebook Live, but on the radio, I'm like, where? Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Is it just me? Hello, everybody out there. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. So let's jump over here to Facebook Live and see what some people are saying about this Obamacare thing, which is Obamacare Lite. Is that what you call it? Does it seem this to you that it's basically just a little bit different, maybe a little bit lighter than what Obamacare has been since that was passed early on a long time ago? I mean, what was that, 2010 when they passed that? Pretty incredible. So here's some things from Facebook Live, some folks there. Eventually, this is from Kent, the Democrats will start blaming the healthcare issue on the Republicans. They are giving the Democrats ammo. That's right. That's definitely happening. From Mike, new healthcare can't be any worse than what we have now. However, it's like changing the oil in your car while it's moving down the road. It's very difficult, can be expensive, and maybe a bumpy ride while we transition to the new policy. Definitely. But the challenge is, for 4, 5, or 6 years now, the Republicans have been running on, hey, let's repeal and replace. But that's not what they're doing, even though they keep saying that. This is the repeal and replace. We promise. Where's the repeal? The repeal would be a bill in and of itself, like the one they passed back in 2015. Daniel said, at least bring the bill before the floor and let them debate it, which eventually it will be. Right now it's going to the committees. That's what happens in Congress, in the House. It goes to committees. The committees fight through it. Then they release it to the floor, and that's where you have a floor argument, a floor debate, and then they will vote on that. But right now they're going to have a problem, especially with the Freedom Caucus. Why can't they just get rid of Obamacare and start completely over? Because they're afraid of all the things that would happen. Like what? So you dump it tomorrow. Now, what about the people that are covered through the exchanges? Do they still keep that insurance? What about all the subsidies they had? So you have to have some bridge over stuff going on there, which isn't easy to do. But they've been talking about this for a few years, and they're not ready to do it. It's like, hey, Steve, you know, you're going to have to leave your house on February 1st of 2019. Okay, so that's when you're going to leave your house. What day? February 1st, 2019. Okay, thanks for the heads up. Do you think maybe we should prepare for that day before we get to that day? And that's the other thing here that's ridiculous, that they're not doing that. They've been talking about this for years, and they're not ready to go. Here's a great point that that Jeff and Catherine Graver here on Facebook Live put up, and this is from Steve Dace, who's a believer, a great political strategist. He's been on talk radio for years. Now he's doing the conservative review thing with Mark Levin, kind of an online TV show platform, basically, kind of like The Blaze. But this is what Steve Dace said. Since Obamacare was passed, we have had four elections. In those four elections, Democrats have lost over 900 times. Let me repeat that, over 900 times. The only election within those four they won was when RomneyCare was also on the ballot. Obamacare has played at least a partial role in decimating the Democrat Party nationwide. And yet Republicans won't truly repeal it now, which also means the over 50 times that House GOP leadership voted beforehand to truly repeal Obamacare were all shams. They lied to you with every one of those votes. And that's exactly right. Repeal and replace, repeal and replace. And it's amazing to me that they're still saying repeal, except that's not what they're doing. They're just augmenting. They're fine-tuning, so to speak. Family Research Council, which is a great Christian organization up in D.C., put out a big post the other day. This is Tony Perkins, who I really respect a lot. Brilliant guy. Loves the Lord. Humble, unlike a lot of people kind of in the culture war arena that I've met. But here's what he said. In some members' opinion, the tax credits are too similar to the subsidies in the law they're trying to replace. Senator Rand Paul has been outspoken in his objections, calling the plan everything from Obamacare Lite to Obamacare 2.0. Others, like Representative Jim Jordan in Ohio, are taking a more proactive posture and suggesting alternatives of their own. A couple more comments there from Tony Perkins, and then five observations from Ben Shapiro about this Trump Care rollout. Your calls as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about the new GOP quote-unquote replacement for Obamacare. What do you think? What's your reaction to it this week? It's not getting a lot of good press. The left, of course, all over it, and a lot of the right, especially the more conservative side of the Republican Party. Freedom Caucus, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, just all over it, hammering, saying, DOA, we're not voting for this thing. There's no way it's going anywhere. We told the people for the last several election cycles we were going to repeal and replace, and this isn't a repeal, and it's not even a replace. It's basically like tinkering with it or a fine-tuning, and then they come out and say, well, no, this is just phase one, then we'll get phase two, then we'll get phase three. We did have a caller, didn't want to go to on the air a little bit earlier, but if you want to call in, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, who made an interesting point. Maybe Congress was expecting Clinton to win and people should give Congress time to redirect their planning. So assuming that Clinton was going to win, you knew no repeal was going to get across her desk, and they didn't have the votes to override her. They couldn't override a vote if Hillary Clinton had become the next president of the United States. And so they weren't prepared. But, you know, I understand that line of thinking. But ultimately, if you really want to get this done, you got to have real bullets in your gun for when the fight comes. And so you got to have an actual plan. And they go, well, we got some great plans. Well, obviously they didn't. And they didn't have a consensus plan. And the people, more establishment Republicans who are nervous about a public backlash, trying to keep it somewhere in the middle. And the hardcore conservatives, where they passed this repeal plan back in 2015, are like, no, let's do what we said we were going to do. But they get so afraid of the voter backlash, because the number one concern of a politician is to get reelected, to get in the first place and to stay in, because that's where the game is played. You got to be in. Otherwise, you got no power. You have no power. You can't make a difference. So I got to stay in order to make a difference. And so I think that's where a lot of the compromise can come in with our elected officials. But what do you think? How are you reacting to what you've learned so far? And granted, we need to not shoot first and ask questions second. That's the way we largely play it in our culture anymore. We just come out and we blast away without actually knowing anything. But we're getting more and more information all the time. A couple of different observations here from Ben Shapiro that I'll share in a minute. And then I'll get back to some of these comments from Tony Perkins in the Family Research Council. And there's all kinds of infighting on the right. And, of course, Trump wants to just push it ahead, says it's a great plan. I'm like, I don't know about that. Temperance, yes, let's stay calm. They have time. But for me, it's really, really disappointing that they're kind of playing around. All of a sudden, you have control, and you're going to be nervous. Because in a year, they're going to be way more nervous. When they start actually getting into the next election year, which is next year, then they're going to be way more nervous. And they'll start working on their elections at some point next year. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH here on Call to Action Radio, talking about the GOP, quote-unquote, replacement for Obamacare. Let's go to Brian, who's calling in from Jamestown, North Carolina. Brian, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling, man. Go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, Steve?
Good.
I just wanted to give you a shout-out, man. I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but I've voted each side before. But the way that you speak on each subject from each side, knowing that you are a conservative, is awesome.
Well, all right, how am I approaching these things that is catching your attention? And I appreciate the encouraging words there, brother. That really, it's a great encouragement. Thank you for that. But what am I doing specifically that's kind of catching your attention on this one?
Well, one thing that I can notice, like, when I listen to a lot of people, I listen to the Truth Network all the time, but when I listen to some other people, not to down anyone, I'm blessed that we have a radio station that speaks from a spiritual standpoint.
Amen.
But some people will go to bat and say everything is good for one side and everything is wrong for the other side. But when you speak something in your heart, or where God speaks to you on something, regardless of what side it's for, you speak up for it. And you speak truthfully from your heart. Just like with this bill, some things may be good for us. Everything may not be good. And when I was just listening, you were speaking about the medical package, free medical. I'm sorry, I may not be
saying that's okay.
Exactly the way you had stated it, but that was something that, you know, gives another alternative and another standpoint. And that to me is God working through you to everyone else to, you know, just open their eyes and really listen to what, regardless of what side you go for, that you can still appreciate the standpoint.
Yeah, that's a great point. And James and Brian, thanks so much for saying that. And thanks for calling in today and being a part of the show. And listen, I share this with you every once in a while. On my computer screen here in the studio, I've got one post-it note. I've got one little word. I'm holding it up for the people on Facebook Live. I've got one little word on a post-it note sticking on the computer screen that I see 5 days a week, every day when I'm in here. And it's the word civility. So, you know, I'm a hardcore conservative. I'm actually registered independent because the Republican Party has upset me so many times in the last 6 or 8 years. I'm like, golly, forget it. I'm not in your party. I belong to one party that's the kingdom of God. All right. And he's not running for the election. He's already the king. He doesn't need our votes for anything. For me, that was just a matter of conscience. I was like, you know what? There's so much going on with the Republican Party, and I'm a member of the party. No, I'd like to think of myself as independent from the world system and dependent on God. So for me, that was just how I came to that decision. But on these issues, listen, I've listened to so much talk radio in the last 25 years before I ever got on the radio. I was listening to, you know, hours a day because I've always been in a job in my own business and working for some other people previously when I was out all the time. And literally in my car, probably 6 hours a day. going to different job sites in the house painting world and stuff. And so I'd listen to a ton of, I started listening to Glenn Beck because he's interesting to me. And plus his whole Mormon angle, which is fascinating to me and quite dangerous, I think. And so, but Rush Limbaugh, but listening to Rush for 20 years. And then Sean Hannity, I used to listen to him more, but I have a hard time taking Sean anymore because to Brian's point, I mean, opposition callers and opposition guests, man, it's just brutal. And that's just, to me, it's just blood sport. I go, what, can't we just have a civil conversation? Can't we just kind of walk through it, shoot first, ask questions later? That's the way we work in the modern media anymore. And I'm just like, you know what? If I'm going to sit here and publicly tell everybody I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then I got to reject the world system. And even when I'm really, you know, fired up, if it's the issue of life and there's somebody else that espouses the gospel and claims to follow Christ, and I have no reason to doubt their salvation, yet they're soft on the abortion issue, I really struggle with that. I'm like, how do you just set that off to the side on any number of levels? But I have to try to have, I can have an intense conversation while remaining civil, can I? And I just think for us, and I'm off this topic here, but I did want to share one other thing from our millennial conservative military homeschool, my mom and wife, Brooke Nicole, because she had a great comment on Facebook Live that I want to share here about the free market thing before we run out of time. But listen, with the consternation and the back and forth and the fighting in this culture, I think it provides us an excellent opportunity to handle it differently than the culture. I'm not really giving an inch on my convictions or on what I believe when I'm espousing the truth of God's word from years of study. I don't give an inch on that. But can we be a little more calm and have a civil conversation and civil discourse, even with people that we don't agree with, like a couple of big time transgender activists that I did stuff with last year and on TV. And then, you know, one of them was on the show. And can't we provide a different way to what the culture is providing in the engagement of these hot button issues, where we can be passionate, absolutely, but, you know, use some self-control, fruit of the spirit, and not be, and I mess up and call people names and get kind of rude and nasty on the air every once in a while. But largely I'm thinking, listen, we need to have that spirit of self-control, that sweet winsomeness where we can come in and speak the truth with love and with grace, as I've talked about many, many times. And so when it's hot out there in the culture and these issues are hot, I think when we can have a calm, rational conversation, which is what Jesus did almost all the time, then I think that's a great witness for us. So Brooke Nicole said, Americans need to insist on a free market approach to healthcare, like I was talking about earlier with the Noble family using MediShare. If we opt for Obamacare Lite, I don't see the Republicans having another opportunity or the willpower after 2018 to continue scaling it back. They'll call it a day if this passes. And that's right. But people don't want to believe in the free market. And the liberal side, because they're so good at messaging, has turned you talk about free market, you think capitalism, you think capitalism, you think crony capitalism, then you think rich people and rich white people taking advantage of everybody else and abusing everybody. So all of a sudden, free market, that's code word for taking advantage of people. That's just the rich getting richer. No, the free market is like what I explained earlier. Hey, let me go buy my car insurance and I'll shop from suppliers all over the country. And the same thing would have happened, by the way, with GM. I teach my students this in my civics class, my Constitution class. I say, listen, if we had let GM fail, yes, there'd be all kinds of plants that would go under. There'd be all kinds of jobs that would be lost. But let's say GM produces and sells 1 million cars a year. All of a sudden, do you think the public's going to buy 1 million less vehicles? No. There's 1 million vehicle hole all of a sudden in the market. And what do you think the market's going to do with that? Well, Ford and Honda and Toyota and Hyundai and all those guys, hey, we'll pick up, we'll buy those factories. Hey, we'll hire those workers because we want a piece of that million cars that GM is no longer supplying. And it would have been a tough transition for 6 months or 12 months, but they would have gobbled that up and that hole would have been gone. And the whole industry would have been tighter for it. And then it's not the government bailing out companies because that's not the role of the federal government. It's just amazing as we watch this whole thing go down. Well, let's make sure we're praying for those in authority over us, as the scriptures call us to, because not Trump, not the right, not the left, none of them have the wisdom on their own to deal with the problems this nation faces. On Monday, it's going to be an awesome show. I'll be live from Ann Graham Lott's office. We'll be talking about the National Day of Prayer, your need for prayer, and my need for prayer on Monday with Ann Graham Lott's. This is Steve Noble. God willing, I'll talk to you then.